And turn those lights off right there. Yeah. Two little boys, Smith's Children's Church. Boys, little boys were so mean. I know they had to be Lentons. Somebody asked me yesterday what my boys' name when they were little. I said I gave them biblical names, Lucifer and Satan. No, I didn't. Daniel's right there going, whoa! He had twins. They were James and John. His boys were James and John. You know, the twins. I said, well, I got two boys named David and Daniel, and one definitely stays in the lion's den, and one's always fighting the giants. Amen. But there was these two little boys came to church, or the mom was couldn't do a thing with them, not a thing with them, and always in trouble. So she said, preacher, I need you to help me out. She says, can you be a little rough on these guys? Rough them up. Talk to them. He said, okay. So one was outside, or sitting outside the office, and the preacher opened the door and said, all right, come in, one at a time. So the first one came in. He sat down, and he looked at the little boy and said, where's God? Little boy. He said, where's God? He said one more time, where is God? And the boy jumped up, screamed, and ran out and grabbed his brother by the collar and said, come on, come on. God's missing it and pinning it on us. Come on. Amen. Do you love the Lord today? Amen. God's not messing. Amen. God's not missing. Look, stand up. Y'all go shake hands with somebody. Look at somebody and tell them they're looking good. If they're not looking good, tell them they're trying. Amen. Remember, if you can't say they're looking good, say at least they're trying. Amen. At least they're trying. Amen. How you doing, beautiful? No, you take it. I just needed it for a minute. I'm fine. No. Amen. I heard somebody tell somebody they were trying. That's good. Get your Bible out. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Yep. When I got married to Linda, she said, you make the coffee every morning. I said, "Why? Where's that at?" She said, I didn't see it in the contract anywhere. She said, it's biblical. I said, how is that biblical? She said, look here, Hebrews. That's right. Hebrews, amen. Hebrews chapter 12. This has been a wild, wild ride that the nation is going through right now. The world's going through. And with the Ebola and with all the stuff that's going on, this is probably one of the wildest rides the world has ever been in. And Satan would like to get us so afraid that when we think about the future, we'll be talking negative. Amen? Then we'll be thinking bad about the whole situation. So here we go. Facing the future with faith. Amen? Matter of fact, a little subheading is when you're not sure what lies ahead. How many thinks I know what lies ahead? Guess what? Plans can change just like that. There's one thing I do know that lies ahead, that Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to take care of all of it. Amen? Amen. Just a couple weeks ago, or a couple months ago, gas were talking about how high it was going to go. And now because the U.S. production has picked up, have y'all noticed gas is going down? Because OPEC says we don't want to lose out on this, and so they increased their production. And so now the market's being flooded by gas. It's better have the market flooded by gas in your car. Flooded by gas. Amen. All right. So as you see, the gas is coming down, and now the economists are afraid they're going to go too low, and it's going to hurt the economy. And I said, I can't believe it. I just watched it just a little while back, and it said it's going to be going up to $200 a gallon a barrel, and now it's gone down to $80 a barrel, and they think it's going to go even lower. And so it's just the ride that the world is on. But we have confidence in what's going to be happening. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that's those that's gone on before. Somebody say, there are those that's gone on before that were awesome. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. A lot of us want to run the race, but we forget the patience part. God, I'm going to run the race, but you got to do it now. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. In other words, he suffered, the innocent suffered for the guilty, and he did it gladly. Gladly. And so if you think about that, when you're going through things, you can believe that if God did it, there's times we're going to have to do it too. Amen? Throw your hands this way. Raise your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, for this day. Lord, we have no idea what the future holds. We can try to predict it. But just like with the gas, it went from going from $200 a barrel now to going down to $50 a barrel, and they don't know what to do. And so, the same way with Ebola, all this stuff, things change in a moment. But Father, you are forever, ever the same. And your word is forever settled in the heavens. And Father, when we can't trust the economy, we can't trust the things going on around us, we know, Lord, that we can trust you. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to anoint us, Lord, to help us, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, to know that you've got our back. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap on the way down. Say, the past is behind us, future's ahead of us, and it's looking good in the name of Jesus. You know, I know the economy's gotten really bad. You know, it's gotten so bad, I got a pre-declined credit card in the mail yesterday. Yeah, pre-declined. I also heard the bank returned somebody's check in my neighborhood, said insufficient funds, and they called them and said, you talking about me or you? And then I also heard they caught a truckload of Americans caught sneaking into Mexico. Matter of fact, ExxonMobil just laid off 25 congressmen. I'll leave that one alone. I'll go right back to the Word. Amen. The safe place, the Word. Amen. Well, we have an uncertain future. There's wars on every hand. There's ISIS. There's Ebola. There's conflicts. There's persecution. Now watch this. I just took a 30-minute newscast. I told the senior saints about this Friday. I took a 30-minute newscast, just a 30-minute newscast. And if it's a 30-minute newscast, you got to have other stuff besides the news. Plus, you got to have commercials. So probably in a 15-minute period, this is what they were talking about. In 15 minutes on any channel, local or national, especially national. In 15, somebody say 15 minutes. All right, you can go home today, take your watch out, and do like this, and in 15 minutes, write the topics down. All right, and watch this. In 15 minutes, wars, ISIS, Ebola, conflicts, persecution, violence, crime, shooting, sickness, human trafficking, earthquakes, plane crashes, terrorism, economic disasters, unemployment, cancer, and death. In 15 minutes. And we hear it every day. Matter of fact, if you tune to CNN or you keep tuned to Fox, you're going to hear it all the time. If you just watch the nightly news, and you're going to see it all the time. This is what America is being fed constantly. We saw this morning that there was a person with Ebola. They were contacted, a person that tested the person that died. She was on a cruise ship. Mexico wouldn't receive the cruise ship because she was on it. And of course, we did. And so she came in. They took her off and quarantined her in the hospital, although she shows she don't have anything. And 4,000 passengers on a cruise ship are quarantined at dock. We live in a crazy world. You never know. What's that? Oh, yeah, politics. Amen. Politics is rampant up there. Amen. So we can watch and we can see all this stuff that is happening around us all the time. And God wants us to know that He is still in control. Somebody say God is still in control. Amen. God is still in control. One more time. God is still in control. If that don't make you happy, something's wrong. If that don't get you on fire, your wood's wet. God is still in control. One more time. God is still in control. One more time. No matter what you're going through, God is still in control. Praise God and thank you for that, Lord. Amen. So watch this. You know, the politicians can take prayer out of school, but they can't take prayer out of us. Amen. They can try to take God out everywhere else, but they can't take God out of us. Praise the Lamb of God. And I thank God that even though they say you can't be there, He's there anyway. Amen. I can't. Nobody stood at the door of school, or nobody stood at the door of Congress, or nobody stood anywhere else and said, okay, God, you're not allowed in here. He said, who are you? He's right there still. So that's good. He's with you right now. So it's an uncertain future. The future is so uncertain that there's a rise on astrology. There's a rise in psychic predictions and biblical, and also biblical prophecy. That's a good thing. Biblical prophecy is being pushed too. But the psychics are flourishing. And astrologists are flourishing. But here's what's going on. Here's just some of the questions I get asked all the time. What does the future hold? Don't you say about yourself? Don't you think that? What does the future hold? Will America continue to be dominant? I don't think so. Not unless there's some changes made. We're not going to be dominant. Matter of fact, you look in the last days prophecies, you see very little about America or United States. You know why? Because we're absorbed into the European Union and we're just part of that same business. Amen? So will America continue to be dominant? I don't think so. Will the stock market collapse? Guaranteed. Will the conflict in the Middle East turn into World War III? I have news for you. We're already in World War III. Amen? Will Christ return this generation? I hope so. That's a lot of questions I hear all the time. Now you got two options. When you're watching the news and you're seeing all this stuff, you've got two options, two only. You can't ride the fence on this one. You got two options, and Jesus told us about it. He said, Luke 21:26, you can choose to be afraid. It says, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after the things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. It's talking about the days we're living in and future days ahead. The stuff's happening so rapidly and stuff's going on, you can either be afraid of what you see or look in verse 28. Now, when these things begin to occur, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption, your deliverance, draweth nigh. Faith. So you got a choice. You can let your heart be discouraged because of what's happening around us, or you can be encouraged knowing that the Lord is on His way back. Amen? He's getting ready to take us out of here. He's getting ready to take care of business. God is still in control. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah! Glory to the Lamb of God. I will not fear because God is here. Amen? Amen. So now, here's this uncertain future. When you look down the road of your own future, watch this. Why do you think about how you're going to handle this stuff personally? You know, why does somebody come knock on your door and said, we're removing every Bible from the homes? What would you do? They tell them to go on down the street. That's right. with your family, with your church, what do you see coming? Are you full of hope and expectation, or are you filled with uncertainty and fear? I'm so full of hope. I'm so full of expectation. I can see this church flourishing. I see God doing something special. Even this morning, I was praying on the way up here. I said, God, don't let us just try to hold the fort. But let us go out and attack and bring them back in. We don't want just to sit back and hold the fort and say, I'm holding on. No! We're going out into the enemy's camp, taking back what they stole, and bringing it back here, praise the Lamb of God. You can be afraid, or you can be full of faith. I choose to be full of faith because our redemption draweth nigh. Praise God! Yeah. So here we go, here we go. So God promises people the faith in the future. Here it is. You can face the future, Jeremiah 29:11. I love Jeremiah 29:11. Has anybody ever heard of that verse? I know the thoughts I think toward you. Do you know God's thinking about you? Remember, I told you last week, if he had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end or to give you hope in your final outcome. You're going to go through something, but God's going to give you hope that know that at the end, you're going to be all right. Amen? Romans 4:18. Here's one that we kind of miss every now and then. Watch this. 17 says, it is written, I have made thee father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which are not as though they were. Abraham was an old man. Sarah couldn't have babies. And watch this. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, which was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, was he perfect? No. Did he mess up? Yes. Man, he messed up. We're paying the price for it right now. But you know what? Still, God did wonders in his life. And in Philippians, some of us need to look at this closely because of our past. Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have been apprehended, but it's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I ain't got time to be all back there looking. Look, let me tell you something. I was riding up here today, I'm driving a wife's truck. I put that rearview mirror back up there. Had the thing stuck up there. The next day I come out and the thing's laying in the seat. I said, Lord, what's wrong with this besides being a Chevrolet? What's wrong? What is wrong with this truck? And the Lord told me what he was trying to teach me. He told me to tell y'all on the way up here. I was driving along and I was losing the side mirrors because that was laid all down everywhere. And the Lord told me to tell you, some of y'all, the problem you're having now is you're driving using your rear view mirror. You cannot drive using your rear view mirror. You will wind up in a ditch. You will wind up hurting somebody. You will wind up killing yourself. Take down the rear view mirror, look through the windshield, and go forward. Forget the stuff behind. I learned from it. Then come on. Praise God. Yes. Come on. How many? Look. It'd be cool. You know, one time I was trying to put my rearview mirror up, and I think it was D.C. I'm almost positive it was. D.C. and Daniel in the back seat. And their mama's over here. And everybody's trying to tell me how to drive. We're in Greenville, and everybody's trying to tell me how to drive. They didn't know that I just tried to put that mirror up there, so I hadn't tightened it down yet. So it was just laid up in that little piece. And I got tired of hearing all of them fuss. So I said, okay. And I just yanked the mirror up like they thought I yanked it off the windshield. It was a joke. I went, okay, y'all drive. It got deathly quiet. All right. So here we go. If you have to, yank your rearview mirror down. You're going forward, not backwards. Amen. I need five volunteers, five guys, five volunteers that don't mind walking around. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and find some volunteers. There's one. Brother Keith, can you help me? Yes, right. Brother Keith. I'm going to say Brother Baker. Patrick Baker. I like picking on the Bakers. One, two, three, four. Come on, four. Let's see. All right, come on, bro. Y'all don't understand just how awesome God is. Y'all come on up here for just a second. Just stand right there and just look pretty. Ha ha ha! Okay. All right. Let me just while I stand right, let me tell you something. Every last one of us have to endure till the end. That's what the Bible says. That word endure does not mean you're going, oh God, I got to endure. Oh. You know, I sent out one thing called butt prints in the sand. The butt prints in the sand says, I'm walking down, Lord, and I see two sets of footprints, and I see two things just dragging. My wife got a better one that she sent out on a cartoon, but it's like, I saw two things dragging. I don't understand, Lord. It says, well, those footprints were mine. He said, but those two things you see dragging? He said, because I had to drag you by your feet, and that's your butt prints in the sand. All right. We must have faith to endure the race. Watch this. There's going to be hurdles. Hurdles are things put in front of you that you have to go over. You have to. You go through it, go over it, you've got to. And then we all have hindrances. Hindrances are there to hold us back. Then we've all got hurt. Anybody here not been hurt? Then if you've never been hurt or you have never felt hurt, we need to go see the doctor Monday. He can give you something you can feel again. Amen. Yeah. And then, no matter what, we've got help. And here's what I'm talking about help. You say, the Bible says, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. That word helper literally means to surround. So watch this. Brother Keith, he's in here. Stand up here, Brother Keith, right here. Brother Keith is an awesome man of God. I love the man. I stand beside him in the foxhole any day. Amen? He's awesome. Now, when he's walking through, when Satan's trying to fight you, right? Watch what's going on in every believer's life. This is what the Bible says all of us have going on right now. The Bible says that Jesus is the captain of our faith. So get in front. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost is beside us, walking beside us. And the Bible says, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So now, when you see a man of God, I'm going to be part of the Holy Ghost. All right, now watch. When you see him, you think, well, I mean, I'm by myself. Nobody even sees. Nobody understands. You go ahead and lead the way, Captain. We're going to follow you. Well, he's trying to do his stuff. Watch out, everybody. Look at him. So look. So watch this. Brother Keith has nothing to fear because Jesus is leading the way. Are we following you, bro? Oh. You got the Holy Ghost is a little thick. I'm not sure if we can make it through here. Okay. So look, no matter where he goes, Jesus is leading the way, the captain of our faith. The Holy Ghost is beside us, comforting us, and behind us is goodness and mercy. So let me ask you a question. With those kind of promises of what's surrounding us every day to our life, why do we have to be afraid when things come our way? Why do we ever have to fear that we're by ourselves and nobody understands? When you got the greatest trio combo there is leading the way, why have we got to wonder about it? Amen? Jesus, the greatest ever being, is leading the way. The Holy Ghost, he's God too. He's beside us. And surely goodness and mercy are following us. Praise God. We got something awesome going on. You should never have to be afraid. Ever have to be afraid. Ever have to be afraid. If somebody go out to this church right now and said, if you want to serve God or do you want to die? If you had to say, well, I know what you'd say. You'd say, well, go ahead and shoot. That's right. There was a church in New York. I told you about this. A church in New York. Real story. The church ran up, had 1,000 people. Guys came in dressed in black. They had machine guns. And they walked in and they robbed the place. After they robbed the place, said, anybody that's not willing to die for Jesus, leave now. And half the congregation got up and left. Half of the ministry staff got up and left. 3/4 of the choir got up and left. When all of them left out, the guys in the black mask said, okay, the hypocrites are gone. Y'all have church. Hey, they did a good job. Praise God. We don't have to be afraid. The Bible says we may be, look, we may be have to be troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. We got God! Praise God, we got God! We don't have to be afraid! Amen. So here we go. We winding down in just a minute. So why do I need to not worry about this thing? Watch this. God called us to press on. I can just put them up. Go ahead and put them up there, dear. Press on. Y'all read it with me. There's a heaven to be gained, a hell to be shunned, a reward to be received, a dream to be fulfilled, a finish line to be crossed, enemy to be defeated, victory to be won, church to be built, harvest to be reaped, world to be evangelized. God says, I'm not hanging up. I haven't decided just to go out of business. I'm still going to be working no matter how hard the devil attacks. I'm still doing what I do best. God is still in control, still calling the shots. Amen. Amen. Somebody tried to tell me God was dead. I said, I don't believe it. I said, who in the world is powerful enough to kill him? And number two, who in the world's got enough knowledge to be able to pronounce him dead? I said, number three, why didn't they call me? Because I'm next to kin. Praise the Lamb of God. God's not dead! Okay, here we go. Jesus is our, we're going to finally get back to it. Jesus is our example. Watch this now. He said, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine. Lord, I'd rather the cup pass by. I'd rather not go to the cross. But it's not my will. It's yours. The 100% God in him knew that he had to do it. The 100% man knew he had to do it, but the 100% man knew how bad it was going to hurt. And so he said, Lord, if there's another way, let's do it. But I know there's not. So let it roll. Amen. I liked when I was at Fountain. I used to love, there's a boat somebody did after Beamer. It said, let's roll. Oh, they say, let's roll. But last thing he said before they charged the cabin was, let's roll. And there was a Fountain boat that was in there, and the name of it was Let's Roll. And I used to love to be able to go on all these tours and tell them, said, this is a Patriots boat. Let's roll. Of course, then I'd always cut up and say, I'd say, here's the president of X-Lax. Here's his boat. Because on the back of it said, got to go. Okay. Not my will, but thine be done. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It all started with a promise in Genesis 3:15. He says, I'm going to put enmity between your seed woman and Satan's seed. And he said, you're going to bruise the serpent's head, and he's going to bruise his heel. That was the promise. That was the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. That's where it started with a promise, but it finished with a promise too at Calvary when he cried, it is finished. You know, they said a man on the cross, by the time he got to that point of death, he was totally dehydrated, drained of all of his fluid, that they could usually go above a whisper if they could say anything. They would be delusionary. And so that's where the modern world tries to tell us how Jesus must not have been on the cross and did all this. But you know what? I like what the Bible said. The Bible didn't say he went, yes, yes, finished. The Bible said he cried with a loud voice. It is finished. He is our example. He started this thing. He's completed our salvation. It's up to us to stand strong. Amen? So finished at Calvary is finished. So now here it is. Here's the thing. Here's where I want to get to. I got all the way through there to get to this. All right? What do you do when you find yourself going through things, when you're not sure what's going on, you don't know what the future holds, you don't know what's happening, you're in pain, and you don't know what to do? I'm glad you asked. Number one, you got to live by faith. Number one, faith sees the possibilities. Don't shout me down. Faith sees the possibilities beyond the pain. You see, for the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him. Faith envisions the end before the work begins. You know, a lot of us, I'm included in the bunch, a lot of us will see a terrible ending before it gets here.
Well, we can't do that because this is what's going to happen. We got already got in our head, this is what's going to happen. If this and this don't happen, this is what's going to happen. God wants us to step up and say, I'm not sure what tomorrow holds, but I know who's holding tomorrow. And I'm going to trust Him no matter what. And He's going to take care of business for me. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So let me ask you something right now. He knew the joy before Him was He was going to rise again. He was going to be on that cross. It was going to be terrible. He was going to be beaten in that garden. But He was going to rise again. Some of you in here right now, you're wondering what the future holds and why am I having to go through so much. I'm here to tell you, instead of looking at the end that it's going to be bad, 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 nothing but bad. I was in a church one day trying to preach a revival, and they got the praise team up before I got ready to preach. And they stood up and went, gloom be spared in agony on me. Oh! Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Oh! If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Oh! Gloom be spared in agony on me. They didn't need a revival. They needed a resurrection. I always want you to do. Here's the one. I want you to close your eyes. Just close them so you're not looking at anybody else. And I want you right now, in the situation you're in, I can tell you Satan's already told you it's not getting any better, it's going to get worse. I can go ahead and tell you that Satan says there's no need to try it anyway because you've already tried before, it's not going to happen, it's not going to work. But you know what? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to just think about the joy that's set before you for your life. Think about it, for your life, for your marriage, for your ministry. I want you to just sit there and think for just a minute. Go ahead and get all the negatives out. I'm not talking about name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. I'm talking about like Jesus did. He looked ahead to possibilities. So instead of looking ahead going, it's never going to get any better, you look ahead and say, with God, all things are possible. Amen. He's in control, not Satan. Amen. Now, lift up your eyes. I just want you to keep that vision in your head. All right, watch this. God, I ask God every day, God, give us a vision. Give us a dream. God, just touch us. So many times we just lose our vision. We lose our dream. We just get all dried up and crusty. You know, Jeremiah says, plow up the fallow grounds of your heart. You know what a fallow ground is? Have you ever watched a farmer go through and harvest the corn? You know, if he has to sit there and wait for a little while. But then he comes along and plants beans. But until he can't just go in with the husk and with the stalks and with the old hard ground. If he come in and planted the beans right through that, he would have a very bad harvest. So he goes through and he tills up the land. He takes out and gets rid of all the sticks and gets rid of the stalks and gets rid of all this stuff. And he plows up the ground and plows up the ground and plows up the ground. Gets rid of all the hardness. And after he plows it all out, then he makes him rows and he puts it in and gets fertilizer and he gets him a crop of whatever the next thing is, beans or whatever. You know what that is called between a harvest and seed time? You know what that's called? Fallow ground. Fallow ground is nasty. Fallow ground is not very appetizing to the eye. Fallow ground looks like a train wreck's come through because it's already been harvested, just a remembrance of what used to be. It's all hard, it's crusty, and God says, if you need me to do something in your life, you got to break up the fallow ground. So what's going on is, instead of sitting back complaining about the fallow ground, just watch this. God, I thank you for harvest, and I'm thanking you for seed time. And I know between harvest and seed time is fallow ground. And Lord, it's going to be there. It's going to happen. But Lord, help me not dwell on it, but help me just move it out of the way with faith. Move it out of the way so there can be another effective seed time. And know that after the next harvest, there's going to be another fallow ground. Move it out of the way and do the same thing. You know, I sometimes tell the story many, many times. But there's this old mule. Old mule was out. How long does a mule last? How long they live? I knew that was coming. It's coming from both sides. I said, how long does a mule live? And they said, till he dies. How many years does a mule live? 30 years. Okay. Well, this old farmer had a mule that was about 25 years old. That'll be good. 25 years old. The mule was just kind of going around and fell in a well. Old dried up well. He went out about 40 foot. He's down there crying. And they're trying their best. And the farmer don't know what to do. He says, I hate not to get him up, but it's the well's dry. He's 25 years old. He ain't got much left in him. I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to cover him up. So he calls all of his people around, his neighbors. They all get shovels, and they start throwing dirt on this poor, innocent mule. When the dirt started hitting the mule cried even louder and said, and his mule talked, I can't believe you're doing this. I worked for you 25 years. I've been giving you the best years of my life. You cover me up with dirt. And yee-haw! And they're still throwing dirt on him. And finally something hit him on the head and he went. And he realized something. So he stood up and he did like this. And he threw the dirt away. The next time he threw a shovel full, he did it again. And this time he stepped up. The next time they threw dirt on him, he shook it off and he stepped up. They threw it on him and he stepped up. They threw it on him, he shook it off and he stepped up. You know, before long that mule walked out of that well. Because the stuff thrown on him, he shook it off and he stepped up. I'm here to tell you something. Look at the possibilities. Yes, it may feel bad around you. Yes, you may feel like you're going under. Even if you're in that 40-foot well and dirt's coming on top of it, shake it off and step on top of it. God's got something in store. Look for the possibilities instead of the problem. Amen. Come on. Yeah. So I said, look, you know what? You got to expect. Oh, here we go. I almost got past this. A God. I know. I'm getting excited. Amen. I'm just as excited if I had good sense. Amen. That's dangerous. Yes, that's very dangerous. You know, a God-given dream, if God gives you a vision, you know why God gives us visions? Here's why. He says, I'm going to give the old men are going to dream dreams. I'm going to give the young men visions. You know why he tells us that? Watch this. Because, first thing, a vision inspires hope. It motivates us. When people lose their vision, they start losing their hope. You got to realize God's got a purpose for everybody's life in here. And it's not through until you take your last breath. And even then, once you take your last breath, your purpose lives on because it inspires other people. Amen? So then, it not only motivates us, it maneuvers us. It inspires direction. We realize we have to travel the proper road to see this come to pass. Number three, it maintains us. It inspires fortitude and passion. We realize we have to prepare to stand. Amen? So here we go. Here we go. Expect great things from God. Number one, expect great things from God. Number two, watch. Attempt great things for God. Don't just expect it. Attempt it. Great things for God. So first, faith sees the possibilities. Some of y'all in here right now, if you could see the possibilities that lay before you. Wow. Remember, what you're seeing in your life right now is one piece of the puzzle. I was telling somebody the other day about this one piece of the puzzle. If you had a 1,000-piece puzzle, I threw it all down on the ground and said, okay, pick up and put it together. You pick that one piece, I went, I don't know what in the world to do with it. You know, you might say that, but you know, if I gave you the box, you say, oh, that's where that goes. I gave you the finished picture. And you can put it all together. Well, see, that's what's going on in our lives right now. We've got a piece. And we don't see the finished picture. God does. So he's giving us that piece of the puzzle saying, here it is. You're going, what do you want to do with this? And God says, hold on, I got it. I didn't see the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. All right? So first, faith sees possibilities. Jesus, he knew the joy that was before him. Secondly, faith pushes through the pain. Oh. Faith pushes through the pain. There's two important statements here. First, Jesus endured the cross. The cross at that day was the most humidity. Amen. It was the most humiliating. It was bad. Humiliating. Thank you. Praise God. It was the most intense pain. It was designed by the Assyrians. They were and the Phoenicians. They were trying to find a way to kill a man that would kill him very slow and very painful and cause a lot of shame. And so they came up with the crucifixion. And the Romans adapted it. Very bad stuff. Very bad stuff. But so he endured this pain and he scorned the shame of the cross. Roman crucifixion again, it was the height of humiliation. But he left us an example to follow. You may be going through pain today, but remember, when you're going through pain or whatever's happening around you, remember, he's already been there. He's already been there. He's taking care of business. I like this. Some men see things and ask why. George Bernard Shaw said, some men see things and ask why. I dream things that never were and ask why not. How many's ever had adversity in your life? How many's got it right now? Let me tell you something. They took the top 100 leaders in the world, the top of all time, 100 leaders in the world, out of the top 100 leaders, 90-something of them had adversities to go through. I just put a few down here. I want you to see this. You put them in a prison, and you get a John, and you have a John Bunyan. You bury them in the Snowett Valley Forge, and you have George Washington. You raise them in poverty, and you have an Abraham Lincoln. You strike them with paralysis, and you get a Franklin Roosevelt. You burn him so he'll never walk again, and you had the one-mile record holder in 1934, Glenn Cunningham. Deafen him, and you'll have a Beethoven. Oppress him with racism, you have a Booker T. Washington and a George Washington Carver. Call him a slow learner, and you'll have an Albert Einstein. I'm here to tell you something. Adversity does not kill us. It is fertilizer for us to grow. Adversity does not stop me. It does not weaken me. It makes me stronger. It makes me more determined to press on. Trust God in the worst of times. He can take care of business. And then finally, faith perseveres for the prize. The Bible says, I love this. This is so awesome. When you read this scripture, turn to Hebrews 4. Turn to Hebrews 4. If you got your book already open to Hebrews, just go backwards. You already got it at 12, go to 4. Something very special about this. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. And then now I want you to write quickly, I want you to turn to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. The Bible tells us, also tells us that he sat down at the Father's right hand. In the temple where the sacrifices were being made, if you look at all the furniture, all the furniture in the temple, there was never a chair. The work of the priest was so hard that the Levites had to do a continual switch up of people because they would just burn out. It was terrible. It was just bad because these guys were all the time making sacrifices. And so they were going back and forth because it just was just terrible on these guys. And there was no chairs for them to sit down. You know why there was no chairs in the temple for them to sit down? Because they were ever making sacrifices for the people. They never got a chance to sit down. They had to keep on working because the sacrifices were only atonement. They did not deliver totally. They just covered them up. But the Bible says when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. When Jesus said it is finished, he went up to the Father and sat down. I'm through. I've done my work. He said, Father, I have glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So I love this now. Look, the throne of God and the right hand of God. Just quick, and then we're getting ready to close. When you find God's right hand, it represents God's power. You know, in the military and in battle, the right hand was the one that everybody tried to take out. I mean, the left hand would hold the shield, but the right hand was the one that struck the blow. The right hand was the one that did all the work. And they always try to take out that right hand, because if they take out the right hand, they can take the man down. You can't take down God's right hand. It's power. It's provision. It's protection. It's peace. Galatians 2:20. You're going through something right now. Here's what you remember. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Go ahead and put that video up there. There, dear. Jesus never said, I've looked in the hymn book. I've looked all over the hymn book. As a matter of fact, I looked in the Baptist hymn book, the Methodist hymn book, and the Episcopal hymn book. And I've never seen in there any place the song, I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I ain't seen that in there, but that ought to be put in there. Jesus, I beg your pardon. He didn't promise us a rose garden. He didn't promise it would be good. But he promised he'd be with us. Just like when Brother Keith was walking around and all of us was around him. You may feel like you're by yourself today. There's God right there with you. God is awesome. He is more. More. And sister, Linda, if you look down there, you're not going to hear any sound because I didn't plug it in. I just noticed that laying down there on the ground over here. That was a dirty, rotten trick. Yes, it was. Jesus said, we're to be crucified. Crucified in technical talk is Lenovo. Here we go again. God is awesome. I want everybody to stand. I want you to stand. God is awesome. Praise the Lamb of God. 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 He is awesome. He is more than enough. He is powerful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They're backwards, but it'll be okay. It'll be fine. See, if you remember this story right here. When you feel the pain of the cross, you praise God. You praise God. You praise God. You praise God because He's there and He's taking care of you. Yes. What tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I will praise the Lord. I will praise. Sing it. Lord. I will praise the Lord. You don't have to be afraid of the future. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, oh, I
will praise the Lord.
Don't be afraid of tomorrow, church.
Started swimming. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I know I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord.
Praise Him, church. Come on, praise Him.
I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I know I will praise the Lord.
Amen. All right, go to the next one, dear. Things got a little out of order, but that's okay. God's got it. It's in the right time. And amen. I remember I told you about this. We were doing that in a church play, and we had a whole bunch of people. We had this going on. We needed one more person. There was a guy that would come with his family, but he wouldn't. He didn't want to have anything to do with the church much, and he just wanted to come be with his family. And he was sitting out there, and we said, we need a jailer. And I looked back at him, and the Lord spoke to him and said, ask him. So I said, can you be our jailer? He said, that's all I got to do. I said, that's all you got to do. I said, you come out, I want you to take the knife, and I want you to go look around, I want you to take the knife and just do like this. And let's come take the knife out of your hand. He said, okay. And so here we go. We're sitting there, and we start going through the practice. As we're going through the practice, he comes up, he takes the knife, and he picks it up, and he falls to his knees, and he does like this. And when he does, we grab his hands. We're Paul and Silas. We grab his hands. And we begin to pray the sinner's prayer like it says he did, that you could be saved. It's all right. God's got this. And the man's heart broke right there. And God saved him right there on the spot. And that man wound up being an awesome servant of the Lord. And I saw him years later. And he said, I'm still serving the Lord. He said, my son is at Liberty University traveling the nation with their singers playing guitar for him. He said, God is so, so good. God is awesome. Go ahead, sister. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. God's awesome. Tonight or today, no matter what you're going through, God has your back. Look forward to the possibilities. Work through the pain and expect great things. God's doing it. I want to invite you to the altar right now. All that will come to this altar. You're going through something you don't understand. You don't understand the future. I invite you to come. This altar and talk to the Lord. You don't know what's going to happen your way. You're trying to figure it out yourself. You have no idea. You need God to help you with your future. You need God to help you understand. Come on up here. Come on up here. Praise God. Praise God and pray to Him. Pray to Him. He's got the answer. He's not afraid. He's not up in heaven walking the halls of heaven trying to figure out how to get you out of this. He already knows. Thank you, Father. God is able. God is able. God is able. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We don't understand, God. You do. We just see one piece of the puzzle. You've got the box. You're looking at the whole picture. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're awesome. You're awesome. You're an awesome God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
For I am crucified with Christ.
Reach up to Him, church. Reach up, because He's reaching down. Reach up. He is reaching down. Praise God. He's got this. He's got this. ISIS, Ebola, the government. He's got it all under control. He said this was going to happen. He told us this was coming our way. He told us. That shows how much He's got it in control. He told us this was coming.
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Not I, but Christ that lives within me.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
For I am crucified with Christ.
Faith sees the possibilities.